Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the stick side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olchek. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Haw.
Olchek!
And this is Cap and Haw, Adam Hoge, Jen Latta filling in for one more day here. Cap and Haw will be back next week here on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Time now to bring in Eddie O into the program. Hi, Eddie. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Adam. Jen, Tom, hope everybody's doing well. And I'd like to retract that last statement about, the kid in the side don't do what Cap's doing right now. But I think we should all be doing what Cap and Haw are doing right now.
Yes, I think that's perfectly
Deal.
Fair. And Jen will be
and I
tomorrow.
I know, Jen, you're headed out of town, so travel safe. So enjoy your trip
Thank
out.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Southwest, yeah.
All right, Eddie, let's talk some Blackhawks here. They got a game tonight against Columbus. How worried should we be about the offense right now? Because, look, this is a team that has earned a point in 18 of their last 22 games. That's pretty good, but you do look at the last four games, five goals total, three of them came in one of the games. I mean, is there an offensive problem right now?
Well, for people that haven't been paying attention, Adam, this has been going on for 12 games. This isn't just about the last handful of games. I know there are a lot of things going on in this town, but if people all of a sudden want to start talking about the offensive woes, it's been like this for 10 or 12 games. So let's get that out in the forefront before I go on. So look, the team has struggled to generate and put pucks in the back of the net. They played a couple of really good games, that game in San Jose where they had a four-goal third period and took care of business. They scored four against the Islanders here at home. The first two goals of the game were soft goals. They were bad goals, but Jonathan Toews happened to be in the right place at the right time. One came from below the goal line, and the other one was a backhand shot that went off the goaltender's shoulder and was an awful goal. But other than that, yeah, for sure. I mean, if it goes three or four, Adam, okay. But this is something that's gone on here for, like I said, for 10 or 12 games. And what's happened here as of late is that the team defense is broken down. And if it wasn't for the goaltenders, Scott Darling in New York 9 days ago getting his first NHL shutout to beat the Rangers in a 1-0 game where both teams respected each other so much there was hardly anything going on in that game. And Corey Crawford has absolutely been out of his mind over the course here of the last 8 or 9 games. So they have to figure out a way to generate more, finish more, and get to the front of the net. And if they do that, then they'll start scoring more goals.
According to Quenneville, no Nordstrom, no Carcillo in tonight's game. How does that affect this team?
Well, Nordstrom's banged up. Carcillo did play the other night. You took Bickle out. You took Teravainen out, Jen. So you got some flexibility. We all know Coach Q. He's not afraid to change up the lines, whether it's in a day of practice or two shifts into a game. Nordstrom's a fourth-line guy. He's going to have an impact on your penalty kill, but other than that, that's his role. Danny Carcillo can give you energy. He drew the penalty the other night. The Blackhawks scored a goal. But if people are banking on those two guys to be the offensive difference makers, the Blackhawks are in trouble. Those guys are role players. They need other guys to step up in a big way. And you're going to face a team like Columbus who's out of the playoffs. It's had just a really tough season when it comes to injuries. But they got some pretty good players on this team. They're on an unbelievable roll right here now over the course of the last, I think, 11 or 12 games. I think they've won 8 or 9 of them. So, look, the pressure is on. This is a big game tonight because over the weekend, you go to Winnipeg. And the last time I checked, the Winnipeg Jets were 4 points behind the Blackhawks. They are in Winnipeg on Sunday night, the Hawks are. And then they turn around and come back and play the L.A. Kings on Monday night. And the L.A. Kings are 3-for-3 on their road trip. They just went into Long Island, into the Rangers, and into New Jersey and won all three of those games. So there's time now to get going. And it all starts tonight against a team that is on the outside looking in. But as I said, they're playing very well.
He's Eddie Olchek joining us here on Cap and Haw. And, Eddie, as you sort of talk about the standings and the points, look, we got a feel for this new playoff system last year and how it's all arranged. So kind of knowing how it all played out last year, what's important right now for the Blackhawks? Because, look, we talk about a few days ago, we were talking about them catching the Blues and the Predators, and look, they're still there, but you missed a couple opportunities this week against the Flyers and the Stars. Is it just sort of at a minimum trying to stay above falling into that wild card spot and at least staying in third in the Central?
Great question, Adam. I think for where they are right now, I think it's finding their game offensively, defensively. And let me just clarify something. And for people that maybe don't follow the game as closely as other sports in this town, when I'm talking about the defense, and if you've been watching, this has nothing to do with the goaltenders. This all has to do with the help that the forwards are giving the defense. This is all about breakdowns when you don't have the puck. So when I'm talking about team defense, I'm excluding the goaltender. And as I said earlier, and emphasize that the goaltending has been probably the most consistent part of this team's game all season long, maybe for the exception there when Corey Crawford came back from his off-ice injury. So in saying that, Adam, I think that they got to find their game. And they would like to get home ice. There's no doubt about it. You got two big games. I mentioned the two big games after tonight. I mean, they're all big, but the conference foes and the divisional foe with the Winnipeg and LA on Sunday and Monday, respectively. But don't forget, the last week of the regular season, you got two games against the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
One a week from Sunday, and I think it's actually relatively going head-to-head against the Cubs opener on Sunday night, the 5th of April, and then a couple of days later, the Hawks are in St. Louis. So, you know, if you're hanging around and you're within an arm's reach and you got those two games against them, that would be huge. I think home ice should certainly be the goal. There's still a lot of hockey to be played. And you look at if you look at the record, and a lot of people in this town just look at the record and go, wow, you know, geez, they're on a nice roll here. You know, they won, you know, how many, 8 or 9 games without Patrick Kane. But if you're not following it and you don't know what you're looking for, certainly it would be, you know, I think the numbers are distorted, but you got to play who's on your schedule. Doesn't matter where they are in the standings in either conference. But I think for the Blackhawks, Adam, and my long-winded answer is that they got to find their game, and I think they'll just be happy playing the best hockey that they can and let the chips fall where they may by just getting into the playoffs and hoping to get home ice. If not, you got to go on the road, and this team has certainly proven that they have the experience to do it on the road.
So, Edzo, are you saying that even when they were winning and you're watching, you're thinking, they may be putting up W's, but this is not really as good as it seems?
Well, if you're watching the games and the volume isn't turned down, and if you're listening to the great Pat Foley and myself, I think that we've certainly alluded to that in some of the games that they played. I mean, do you remember the game against Edmonton in here 2.5 weeks ago when the Edmonton Oilers got 47 shots on goal?
Yes.
And the Blackhawks won the game? You know, you're going to have games like that. Don't get me wrong. But when you see it 3 out of 4 games and then 5 out of 7 games, you know, I mean, that is a concern. And you play who's on your schedule. I mean, the schedule that they've had, the facts are what they are. I mean, look at the teams that they played here since Patrick Kane has been out of the lineup. I don't have to rehash it because that's all I do is talk about it. I mean, look at their schedule and who they've played. You should win those games, whether Patrick Kane is in a lineup. But I think more concerning to talking to a lot of the players and the coaches is how they're playing. And that's the most important part of it when you get ready for the most important time of year and when everybody's going to be evaluated both on and off the ice, is when that puck drops in the first Wednesday of the playoffs, is that they're playing their best hockey. And again, I go back to the goaltenders. They've been the strength of this team all year long, and that's certainly a positive when you're skating down the stretch here, trying to solidify a playoff spot and trying to get home ice.
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans out there are just crossing off the days on the calendar until they can get Kane back out on the ice.
That's great, but we know what the Blackhawks have said. He's not here. He's not going to be around until, you know, the end of round two.
Yeah, you got to get to that point.
Number was 12 weeks. So, you know, there's a lot of hockey to go. And, you know, I mean, look, he's a young guy. And, you know, you've seen athletes in this town, most athletes in this town, recover and get back and play quickly. And hopefully that'll be the case. But you know, there's 9 games to go in the regular season, and hopefully a couple of rounds so that you get that opportunity to see 88 playing this year. If you see 88 playing this year, certainly that's a real positive for the team and the fans.
Well, it sounds like the Blackhawks did agree to 2 new deals as well. What can you tell us about this defenseman, Michael Pagliotta? Is that it?
I don't know a whole heck of a lot about the college kids. I do know that the Bond kid was sought after from Colgate, I believe. I know that there are quite a few teams that were interested in his service. But any time that you bring in, you know, young college players, the Blackhawks have done it in the past. You know, they're projects. They're, you know, therefore, you know, down the road, could they get a sniff here, a game or two before the end of the season? Sure. I mean, you get injuries and you just never know. But, I mean, these are young guys going from collegiate hockey to the best league in the world. And there's certainly a dramatic speed difference from the college game to the NHL level. But I know the Bond kid is a guy that can certainly generate some offense. But I do not know the defenseman.
All right, Eddie, as we let you go here, you mentioned the game against the Blue Jackets tonight, a one you got to have. What's the key to leaving the United Center with a victory tonight?
Got to spend more time in the offensive zone. I think that's really the key because what's happened here the last couple of games, Adam, the game in Dallas, the game in Carolina, even though the Blackhawks won, if people watched that game in the second period, the Blackhawks hardly had the puck in that second period. If it wasn't for Corey Crawford and you had a team that could really score like Carolina. I mean, look at Carolina, couldn't score a lick against the Hawks the other night, and then they put up 5 or 6 last night against Pittsburgh. And then the game against Philadelphia the other night, I mean, that game could have easily been 7-5 with the way that both goaltenders played. But for me, it's about the offense. If you have the offense, it's the best defense in the world. And if you can find your offensive game and spend 200 feet away from your goaltender, that'll give you a great chance to win. But again, just people understand, Columbus is a hard-working team. They're on a roll right now. I don't know if they're playing spoiler or not. They're playing for jobs and for impression, and it's going to be a tough game tonight. And we know the Blue Jackets because, you know, they were in the Blackhawks division for so many years. It's going to be a hard-working game, but I think the offense is the biggest key to this game tonight for the home team.
Well, Eddie, I can sense the sense of urgency in your voice. 9 games to go. Let's hope the Blackhawks bring that to the ice tonight.
All right, have a great weekend, you guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Eddie Olczyk with great stuff, as always. You can tell he's a little fired up.
I'm nervous. I mean, he made me nervous, to be honest, because we'd always had these conversations about just get to the postseason, win, you know, a series, Patrick Kane will be back, changes the offense, makes him a lot more dangerous. But he's kinda...
And I'm one of those people, I'm always saying, all right, I'm going to trust this team to get the job done. They'll flip the switch. They usually do. I don't know. Eddie made me feel a little uncomfortable there. Like, man, this is... But he's right. I mean, we keep talking about Patrick Kane coming back. Like, we're just assuming they're still going to be playing.
What I took from that is, it's pretty obvious, Corey Crawford, come playoff time, is going to have to be unbelievable if they're going to make it to the Kane return.
If they don't... Right, unless they somehow change what's been going on here.
But this is what happens when you win consistently. And I don't necessarily mean this season, but now the Blackhawks are in a position where a lot of fans are doing what we were talking about. They're kind of going, no worries. This is a championship team. They're going to have their lumps. They're going to take their lumps, lose a couple games they shouldn't lose. But in the end, they'll be able to rally and be there. And from what Edzo's saying, he's like, hold on. It's a lot tougher than you might think. Look at the standings. Look how easy it might be for them to drop. You know, nothing's guaranteed is essentially what he's saying.
Well, hey.
Which I think people know from a sports standpoint clearly that anything can happen. But it is a little bit unnerving to hear him say that.
Well, the Jets have kind of closed that gap there in the Western Conference. So there's got to be a sense of urgency. Eddie definitely had it. Let's see if the Hawks do tonight against the Blue Jackets. 312-235-2525. It's Adam Hogue and Jen Latta filling in on Cap and Haw.
It's Cap and Haw.
Is he one of the most famous front runners of all time, being a former Cal guy? And that, I mean that in a good way.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you've heard of him.
The guy that... Not Aaron Andrews.
No, Aaron Rodgers.
It was Aaron Rodgers behind our bench.
Quarterback for the Packers.
Really? I didn't notice he was there. Cuz. Really? Was he there?
Yes, he was.
Did you? No, he's not a big front runner. He's been great all along. actually. He's got better jokes than most. Hopefully he sticks around. Is he going to be around? Fair? All right. He doesn't have anything else. He might get down to Cal and donate money to his alma mater.
All right, with that, we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Coach. We'll see you here tomorrow.
He's going to be mad I said that, I know.
Oh, this is more from Bo Ryan's phenomenal press conference last night. Who asked that question?
I thought it was cool that he was there.
You don't accuse Aaron Rodgers of being a front runner. The guy was...
Aaron would not like that.
Well, he was at the games last year, too. He supports the program, actually.
He does a really good... He actually... And he goes to a lot of Bucks games in Milwaukee. Big Badger fan. And he was sitting next to Andy North, who, at least I believe I saw Andy
who
there.
Who travels with the team.
And
he's like part
he and
of the
Andy
team.
Are super tight. I mean, those two do a lot of charity events together. They've certainly golfed together before. I think you've seen them in Tahoe before. Lake Tahoe, not vacationing together. Let's not... Get that rolling. And was there with his lovely girlfriend, Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I've seen them out publicly together, that at least at a game.
Aaron is a
I don't watch the E! Channel, sorry.
No, I don't watch the E! Channel either. But they did go to the ESPN Awards together.
Okay.
And he gave her like a shout-out that was like, baby, I love you, as he received his NFL MVP award. Some serious stuff.
You being up there a little bit, Jen, you know him. Is he as sensitive as advertised? Because people say that Aaron's always concerned about his image. Would you confirm that?
I would say that that's accurate. Yeah, he's very concerned about
considering some of the things he's taken on, rumor-wise, I don't blame him for being sensitive at all.
I don't necessarily think it's always about the rumors and stuff. I think it's just, again, as we were saying before, kind of sometimes you have to own stuff. When you screw up, you got to own it. He's a perfectionist.
Yeah,
he struggles to kind of deal with failure in any way. So
he was in the locker too after he got a B, and
probably I don't know, but I could see that happening.
He wouldn't be hiding.
But
in
let's
stall.
Be fair. Really good dude. Does a lot of charity work. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this It's Aaron thing he has going where he surprises kids.
I have seen that.
Spends
awesome.
The day with them, and not always cancer patients, but kids who have family situations that are less than ideal. And so, again, really good guy in the community.
Well, and he's totally embraced.
Much like our quarterback here. kidding, because we know Cutler does stuff
does.
With the diabetes foundations, et cetera.
But Aaron has really embraced that entire state. And so that's why he was, I mean, he I don't know where he lives in the off season, but he's probably out there in L.A. where with Olivia. That's probably why he was at the game last night. But he's around that program more than you think he is. And so that wasn't Drake coming out like just all of a sudden at a game, or Kansas governor the other day.
Oh, Brownback.
Who was
that guy?
Wow.
He's a have you seen some of his? You want to go back to the dark ages? Go see what Sam Brownback thinks of. The
Some
world
angst
out
there, huh?
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Wow.
I'll just go full bad guy. But it's cool when guys like Aaron Rodgers, or not that he went to Wisconsin, but still, whatever, he feels a part of the program. Magic Johnson showing up, standing for Michigan State. I'm sure he'll be there tonight. All that. I think it's awesome when you see that type of stuff going on.
Hey, since we did just dabble a smidge in the old politics, which I try to stay away from when it comes to sports, but the two are actually merging right now. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but... the NCAA had a response to Indiana's religious freedom law. Did you guys get to see that yesterday?
Yes, I did.
So Indiana Governor Mike Pence says the religious freedom bill he signed into law Thursday isn't about turning back the clock to old-time bigotry, where you could refuse service to blacks at restaurants, set up separate drinking fountains, or post a job opening alongside a sign that says no Irish need apply. But the NCAA and its president, Mark Emmert, responded to what most clear-minded people believe. This is a law about the state of Indiana protecting discrimination. And, of course, with the Final Four being in Indianapolis in, you know, just a week or so, they're concerned about athletes, teams, fans having to deal with discrimination in the city. It's a fair topic for them to have to address.
Well, these laws are ridiculous, and they basically are just a way of people with bigotry thoughts to use something like religion to basically allow them to continue to be bigots. Let's be fair, that's what this is.
No question.
And the NCAA I hope that they continue to put their foot down on this. Their headquarters are right down there in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. blocks away from Lucas Oil Stadium, where the Final Four is going to be held next week. And if you've ever been down to Indianapolis, you know that that city is perfect for these kind of events, for conventions, not just sporting events, but conventions too. Everything is like in a 4 or 5 block radius, all the hotels, all the restaurants, everything. It's perfect. And if there are going to be companies, not just the NCAA, but other organizations that are going to start saying, hey, well, we're not going to have our conventions there, that's going to really hurt the economy down there. Because that's basically what Indianapolis has turned into. It's
destination.
It had the Super Bowl.
And let me be clear, I was reading from Dan Wetzel's column on Yahoo Sports. So if that sounded a little less than objective, it was intended to be.
Wetzel's the best.
Great writer, yeah. Clearly thinks that this is, you know, archaic behavior. And I love that sports, which obviously will be affected by this, or certainly people who follow sports, has jumped in. You know, the NCAA doesn't do a lot of things right. I think we all can agree, being around this organization as long as we have, there are a lot of questionable decisions. But this was a good thing. The statement that they made saying that it won't be tolerated is good. And now what Wetzel is saying is that these other sports should follow suit. You know, the combine is held in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You should threaten to remove that activity as well if this type of law and this type of behavior is going to be allowed.
Use your power, baby. They got a lot of it, right?
And if the NFL steps in too, I mean, the NCAA is powerful enough, but the NFL gets in there. I don't know if Indy's trying to get another Super Bowl. I'm sure they are thinking about it down the road. No Super Bowl. Think about, not only did the Super Bowl bring in the money it did to the city, but it completely changed, I don't want to say completely changed downtown, but improved downtown. Because I've been going down there for the Big Ten tournament for years, and the work they did in downtown Indianapolis before the Super Bowl got there was great. It made everything nicer. It kind of connected everything in a perfect way. And that, I love going to Indy. I might be down there next weekend. And they should continue to put their foot down on this issue because it's completely ridiculous.
Are you saying you're only going if Wisconsin makes it? Because that's what I heard.
Well, maybe I'm not going because of this bill.
Yeah.
It's because of Wisconsin.
If you go to the Final Four, you got to go.
It is disappointing, though, because I think you guys, and maybe this is just a stereotype, but a lot of times you think about this type of discrimination occurring in the Deep South, right?
Yep.
You think of South Carolina waving its Confederate flag openly and go, whoa. But it's the South, so there's kind of this whole, well, what do you expect, right?
Didn't we just go through this with Arizona?
And
the NFL was threatening to pull.
Was that an immigration thing? No?
I thought it was a similar law
like
this
with the
religious. But I
think what kind of is startling to me is that this is happening in Indianapolis. This is just a stone's throw from where we are. You know, and I think we think of, you know, Chicago as being relatively progressive, evolved. To know that this type of discrimination is being approved not too far, and in a place where a lot of people are, it's a destination for a lot of sports people. It's something that has to be addressed, and I'm glad that the word is getting out there, and I'm really pleased with the NCAA's response.
And not just Indianapolis. I mean, Northwest Indiana. That's part of Chicago. I mean, those are part of the Chicago suburbs. This is a state law. So, I mean, this is essentially right here. And it's ridiculous. All right, Adam Hogue, Jen Latto. We're going to talk to Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network next. So we talk some more college basketball and get a little bit of a preview on Michigan State's game tonight. Adam Hogue, Jen Latto. It's Cap'n Haw.
I thought I played a pretty good game. Wasn't a complete 40 minutes, but you know, early in the first half, I thought we needed a spark, and I thought, all right, I saw some opportunities in the open court, you know, to get us a spark, and Frank's had some good rub screens, and we just tried to attack them right away. And, you know, they got switched up a couple times on those screens, and it gave me a lane to the bucket. And, you know, if I use my athleticism the way I should, you know, I tend to be able to get there.
It's Wisconsin's Sam Decker last night after the game, 23 points, 10 rebounds for him. Okay, I've had two people tell me in the last 5 days that Sam Decker looks like me.
Hmm.
Agreed? No? I don't think it.
I would have seen it.
He's a little more pasty than you, and you're pretty pasty, but not
whoa, no.
Not to that level.
pacey. I don't think anyone's ever called me pacey.
No, you're actually, well, I mean, you're right. You got a little, I take it back. You've got some nice color.
Can
over
I
there.
Just say that there is so much love in this room right now?
I know.
Jeez.
I feel like Carmen and I have been going at it for the last hour and a half.
Go at it.
Something about that green
with your
jacket.
Lightsabers
it's a green
all
jacket,
day.
I think.
I'm in love. I don't know what Hulk's
green
doing.
Green jacket, gold jacket.
What are you wearing, by the way, over there? What is that thing? Musky fishing?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
It's a hockey team. Let's bring in Dave Revzin from the Big Ten Network right now. You can follow him on Twitter at BTN. Dave Revzin. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Jen. What's going on?
Hey there.
Good talking to you again. All right, so last night, Wisconsin gets the victory over North Carolina. Wasn't necessarily convincing, but they weathered a storm, and I thought North Carolina played pretty well, and I think at this point in the season, it's just sort of about surviving and advancing.
I agree. I don't think they've played great. Honestly, I don't really think they've played all that well in any of their first three tournament games. They've had some, I mean, offensively, they were great against Coastal Carolina. I didn't think they played very well defensively. And these last couple, you know, I think they've been okay. I just don't feel like they're as engaged at the defensive end as they were during the tourney run last year. I think this is a really challenging game, obviously, coming up here against Arizona. I mean, this one is, ever since we got the bracket, this is one that I've been looking at and thinking, it's a really dangerous game for them. I just think they're going to have to play better than they have so far in the tourney in any of those three games to advance.
Yeah, I actually, Dave, I had a former Wisconsin player text me last night and said, scary to think Wisconsin hasn't played a complete game since that Ohio State game on the road to end the regular season. My response, though, that is a scary thought. However, they better find that play if they're going to have any chance of continuing to advance, if they want to get through Arizona, Kentucky, and then whoever might be beyond that, if for some reason they're actually able to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, first things first, obviously, with Arizona. But I'm completely on board with you, Adam. I mean, I just feel like it. And look, that's the mark of a really good team. I mean, first of all, that you don't have to play your best to move on. And you're never going to play your best game. You know, that's kind of that elusive goal out there. But to play really well, and I agree. I mean, you know, that last game of the regular season, they played great, and they were on a mission. And Kaminsky said after the game, you know, we were on a mission. We were out to prove something. And it just doesn't feel like they've had that edge since then. And, you know, again, that being said, I mean, they still won the Big Ten. They haven't lost a game since. So, yeah. You know, they figured out a way to win. But I guess I feel like, obviously, if they were to get to Kentucky, the level of competition is going to be ratcheted up. But I think Arizona is a really, really good team.
I think a lot of people, when they watch Wisconsin, they expect certain performances from Kaminsky, from Decker, from Hayes. But last night, Hayes said after the game, they don't win that game without Zach Showalter. What can you tell us about him? Because not getting a lot of minutes, but seems to be making the most of them.
Well, Zach Showalter has kind of been forced into action a little bit with the injury to Trayvon Jackson. It just really, the depth of this team was hurt when Trayvon went down. And Zach Showalter's is kind of basketball royalty in the state of Wisconsin. As Adam knows, his dad is the head coach at Germantown, which is one of the really good programs in the state, has year in and year out either won state or been right there in the hunt to win the state title. And Showalter's a former walk-on who's just kind of worked his way up and worked hard. And players get better under Bo Ryan, and walk-ons have opportunities. And I mean, he took advantage. I don't think they would have won without him. I'm not sure they would have won without Trayvon Jackson last night, who came back after missing 19 straight games, comes in, and, I mean, a minute after getting on the floor, he bangs a three and, you know, scored 4 points, but just looked confident and leading the team, looked like he felt like he belonged out there. And I think that's huge. I think both of those contributions, Showalter and Jackson, were enormous.
How great was Bo Ryan after the game last night? That was one. He's had a lot of great press conferences. That was among the best, though.
Was it after the game that he was talking about the bacon and the eggs?
Yeah, bacon and you got the bacon and eggs reference. Yeah, yeah. You had him sort of making fun of himself for how he treats Sam Decker and pulls him out of games and says, "Oh, he doesn't always pull him out. There's twice this year when he didn't." I just thought it was fantastic.
I think that it's been interesting to watch Bo here over the last year, basically. I mean, going back almost exactly a year when they made the Final Four. I feel like something's changed a little bit. I mean, for those who know him reasonably well, which I do, there's always been like a little bit of an edge that I felt like he just didn't think he got the respect that he deserved, that people didn't understand how amazing a coach he is. And I think to a certain extent, because of what happened under Dick Bennett, because they did make the one Final Four, I think people look at this program, you know, and say, well, it's been a good program. It's a good basketball program. It's always been a good program. It just hasn't been. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that in the 63 NCAA tournaments before Bo Ryan showed up at Wisconsin, Wisconsin went to 7 of them, 7 out of 63. And a lot of that success was, as we know, was under Bennett. It was kind of very late in that time period. And now they've been to 14 in a row. I mean, I just don't think people understand, you know, the 14 straight times they finished in the top four in the Big Ten. It's the longest streak ever, breaking a record that had stood since the early 1930s with Purdue. I mean, the level of consistency in a program that hasn't been a great one is remarkable. And so I think finally when they made the Final Four last year, Bo got the recognition that I think he believed he deserved and that he did deserve. And I feel like his whole tenor has changed a little bit. I think he's more relaxed and having more fun with it and enjoying the ride. And it's been neat to see. I don't know if you'd agree with that assertion, Adam. I know obviously you follow the program really, really closely. But that's my take on it. I've seen a real change in him in the last year.
Well, I'm going to trust you on that because you've been around him more this year than I have. So, I mean, I could see some validity to definitely what you're saying. And I think that, you know, he sort of plays off a little bit. He never wants to get ahead of himself. He never wants to compare teams and all that. But, I mean, obviously I think a national championship at this level would mean a lot to him. We're talking to Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network right now. Let's switch gears to Michigan State. I don't think anyone who is around the Big Ten knows anything about Michigan State and Tom Izzo is surprised that here they are again in the Sweet 16. I'm just sort of still, yeah, you don't want to doubt them because it's Michigan State, it's Tom Izzo. I'm still trying to figure out how good this Spartans team actually is, though.
I mean, it's personnel-wise, not a great team at all. I mean, they have one top 75 recruit on the floor. It's Brandon Dawson. And I think you could make the argument that Brandon Dawson, to a certain extent, has been one of the more disappointing players on this Michigan State roster. You know, the variance, unfortunately, I think, for Brandon Dawson, when he's good, I mean, he's great. You know, we saw it in the Big Ten tournament last year. We've seen it in fits and spurts throughout his 4 years, but you know, given the hype that surrounded him when he got in, I guess is the way that I'm putting it. You know, he's been inconsistent, and then other than that, you're just kind of dealing with maybe the least talented roster that Izzo has ever had, and yet he has figured out a way to cobble it together and get it to this point by doing what they always do, which is playing well defensively, playing as a team, and peaking at the right time, and they certainly have done that.
Dave, would you say, considering what you just put out there as far as the recruits that Michigan State is playing right now, and if you look at Tom Izzo's history, 6 Final Fours, he's only gone out in the first round 4 times. So you're talking about if you go to Michigan State, you're more likely to go to the Final Four than lose on the first weekend. If they drafted every NCAA coach right now, do you think that Izzo is number one?
Oh, man. I just think it's so hard to kind of put it that way because it depends. You know, there's so many different factors to what makes a great coach great. It depends kind of where you are, what program you're leading. I mean, it'd be tough, for instance, not to say Mike Krzyzewski's a great, you know, great coach that you might want to have as your number one pick. It just depends what program he was leading. But again, kind of to your point, we've seen Duke go out early, which Michigan State almost never does. I think relative to kind of where he is, the program he leads, he is so far out. You know, there are all these statistical models now of what you would expect from different schools at different seeds, right? Like here's the norm of what should happen with a 7 seed. Here's what should happen with a 4 seed. and I was reading it to the Nate Silver stuff, that Izzo has so far exceeded it, what the norms would be given the seeds that he's had through the years. It's just off the charts. So by that measure, he's far and away the most successful guy. I mean, I'm biased because I spend so much time around him, too, and have covered his team. I do think he's absolutely phenomenal. I can't imagine another coach you'd want leading a program. But again, I think it kind of depends on the program. Is it Michigan State? Is it Kentucky? Is it, you know, Miami of Florida? I mean, you know, it just depends what the school is.
All right, Dave, so we have Michigan State, Oklahoma tonight. Oklahoma's an interesting team. I'm sort of surprised that they're as far as they are. I'm not going to pretend to know everything about Oklahoma, but I did see them play Wisconsin earlier in the year, and it was a relatively easy game for Wisconsin. So what about this matchup tonight? Should we know? I do know that Michigan State is actually favored, at least on the betting line.
Oklahoma has impressed this year. You know, it's Lon Kruger's team, obviously. They're up-tempo. They can score. They're not a great offensive team, but they're really solid. But they hang their hat on defense. Particularly their interior defense is really good. They have Buddy Hield, who's the Big 12 Player of the Year, who's a guy who can, you know, really put the ball in the basket and just a good, solid all-around player. Tayshaun Thomas up front is going to give people problems. So it's a good, solid team. But, yeah, I mean, from what I saw, again, kind of looking at the – not necessarily at the betting line, but at kind of what the numbers tell people, it sounds like you know, Michigan State maybe is the favorite to get through at this point of what has been a very diminished East, with Villanova losing in the round of 32 and Virginia getting knocked out obviously by the Spartans as well. So I think there's a great chance. If you would have asked me at the beginning of the weekend, you know, before yesterday, who do you think has a better shot of making the Final Four, Michigan State or Wisconsin, I might have said Michigan State. Not that I think that they're a better team than Wisconsin, because they're not, but just because there's no Arizona looming in their region. You know, Wisconsin, I think, has a far more challenging game than Michigan State would have, no matter who they play here.
Dave, great stuff. Appreciate your time today.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network. All right, coming up next, we're expecting to have a conversation with new Chicago Bears linebacker Mason Foster, just signed a one-year deal. Play inside linebacker in the Bears' new 3-4 scheme. Hoping to talk to him next. Adam Hoke, Jed Latta filling in on Cap and Haw.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
It's Cap and Haw, Adam Hoke, and Jed Latta filling in. Last show of the week. Boys are back next week. So get back from Arizona. And time now to bring in a new member of the Chicago Bears. He's Mason Foster, signed a one-year deal to join the Bears, play inside linebacker. How you doing, Mason? Welcome to Chicago.
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
I hope you're not in Chicago now, because we have the worst weather ever. I hope you're back in Florida, but it gets better here, trust me.
Yeah, I'm back in Florida right now. I went out there for the one day. It was all right until the wind started blowing, you know
right.
What I mean?
Don't worry. Summer here is great. Once you get down here, start working out. It's the time to be here. All right. So, you sign a 1-year deal. How did the market play out? I mean, was it sort of not what you expected once you hit free agency? I mean, you had three pretty solid seasons in Tampa before last year, and I know there's some reasons for that we can get into. But did you expect to get a little bit more interest than maybe you did before signing here in Chicago?
You know, I expected, a little more interest, but at the same time, I kept it real with myself, and, you know, I knew that this is by far the worst year I've had, you know, football-wise since, you know, Pop Warner, so it was crazy. So I just went into it with open mind. I'm a pretty positive guy, so, you know, I knew as long as I had the opportunity to play somewhere, you know, and still had a chance to play football, I was going to be happy with that. I wasn't really, too mad or too discouraged about, you know, not getting a big-time contract. I was excited to be a part of a great situation.
Yeah, you've played in a number of schemes in your short career. I think I saw you were the youngest free agent on the market this year at 26. How will that benefit you in Chicago? And did that contribute to some of the challenges you had last season?
Yeah, it was, definitely throughout my whole career, in college, I had a bunch of different coaching changes, and I got to the league. And, you know, it's tough, you know, but I pride myself on being a, you know, quick learner, being able to adjust to different situations, you know, and being a versatile player. So definitely, you know, prepared me for the situation I'm in now, you know what I mean, having to switch to a new team and, you know, learn a new scheme. But it's something I've had to do with my whole career. And, you know, the fact about being young, you know, is great. You know, I just turned 26 this month, and I'm just looking for, you know, stability. You know, I really like the situation in Chicago, great team, a lot of history, and get a chance to, you know, finally grow with a team and, you know, hopefully sign a long contract and, you know, and play my whole career there. You know, that would be great.
Yeah, but it's a one-year deal, as we've discussed. So do you like having to prove yourself to get the Bears to want to latch on for that long-term deal?
Yeah, exactly. I love it. You know what I mean? That's what you want. You know what I mean? I want to go out there and earn it. You know what I'm saying? I want to go earn this money and, you know, really show people the player that I am. You know, there's been glimpses of it. Like you said, you know, it was the 3 years before. In my first 3 years, you know, I had big-time plays, you know. But I want to really, you know, let everybody, you know, solidify, let them know that I'm the big-time player that you know, that I can be. You know what I mean? And go out there and make a bunch of plays and really hold this defense down and, you know, earn the money, you know, show them what it is.
He's Mason Foster, new Chicago Bears linebacker. And Mason, you talk about the prove it deal, this 1 year deal. You're not the only player this week that has signed here in Chicago on a similar deal. You also had Jarvis Jenkins and Ray McDonald, two guys that are also, I'm probably looking at it the same way. I don't know if you've talked to those guys, but as you were in negotiations with the Bears, was that something that they maybe talked to you about, that, hey, we're trying to build a defense here with a bunch of guys that need to prove it, and that's sort of their approach right now to turning this thing around? Because as you probably know, stepping in here, this defense has not been that good the last two seasons.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the main things that we talked about, and I'm really good friends with Jarvis Jenkins, and you know, sitting down and talking with him on the phone, it was just like, you know, we both know the players that we can be. You know what I mean? Things that may have not worked out, you know, for whatever reason in the team that we got drafted to, but you know, I believe in my talent. You know what I'm saying? And I know that I could, you know, really prove it, and that's what you want. You know, I don't want anything to be handed to me. You know, I'd rather go in and earn it, and you just feel better about yourself at the end of the day when you earn it.
I know that you pride yourself on being a downhill player. Injuries, you said you had an injury last season that also contributed to some of your struggles. But how do you see yourself fitting into this linebacking core? Have they given you any indication if, you know, we're looking at middle or if you're going to be playing the jack?
No, they haven't told me. The only thing they've told me is, you know, inside backer. And, you know, they said they loved the way I play, man. You know, they knew that last year wasn't, you know, that wasn't me at all, you know what I mean? But definitely, you're going to get a great opportunity to come in here and compete. It's all even, you know, we're all starting on the same page, new coaches, new GM. And, you know, if I come in and do what I'm supposed to do, you know, I think the way that I play downhill, you know what I mean, physical football, I think it's a great fit for Coach Fangio's defense.
You know, you played for Lovie Smith last season. He spent 9 years here in Chicago before going down there in Tampa. What was it like playing for him, and what do you think the outlook is down there for the Buccaneers?
It was great, man. Coach Lovie's a great person, man. It was a great opportunity to have a chance to play for him and his coaching staff, Leslie Frazier. They're great guys. And, it, you know, it's bad that, you know, it sucks that it didn't work out the way that we thought it would. But, you know, they're going to get it going. It's a young team down here, a lot of great guys. You know, Levante David's one of my best friends. You know, Danny Lansana, you got a great group of guys. And, you know, Jason Light is building, you know, bringing in a bunch of guys that are going to help this team win. But at the same time, you know, I needed to get somewhere else, man. I want a new start, you know. And I wish them all the best, man. There was, you know, I live in Tampa. I spent 4 years here. I got drafted here. Both my little boys were born here. So, you know, I love it. But at the same time, you know, Chicago's where it's at, the history for Chicago, you know what I mean, great linebackers. And, you know, definitely get out of this hot weather. You know, I'm looking forward to actually being in some cool weather.
Wow. The picture of your son that you posted on social media wearing the Bears bib was absolutely adorable. I know a lot of people love that. And speaking of social media, you know, we kind of were keeping track of you on Twitter over the last few weeks as we thought a deal was getting close. The Chicago fan base, once they got a taste of your name, it seemed like they were really campaigning, you could say, to get you here. How did that make you feel?
it made me feel great. You know, I'm one of those guys who, you know, I come from humble beginnings, a small little town. So, and, you know, I was always a big football fan. And so I love interacting with the fans. That's one of the things that I think it's a blessing being able to, you know, people want to wear your jersey and, you know, follow you on Twitter, want to know what you're doing. So I love it, man. So any chance I get, you know, I love to interact with the fans, ask them questions, you know what I mean? And it's just one of those things that's a blessing, man. People actually, you know, want to know what you're doing and want to wear, you know, your jersey. So it's cool, man. I take as many, any opportunity I get to talk to the fans or sign autographs, take pictures, whatever I can do, I'll do it, man. Because I know what it's like to sit there and have players walk away from you or not, you know, or not shake your hand, you know what I mean? I know exactly how it feels, so I never want to be the guy that does that to anybody.
Did you figure out what number you're wearing?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
All right, Mason, well, welcome to Chicago. Hey, that first mini camp's only about a month away. Jen and I both cover the team, so we'll see you there.
All right, see you guys there.
All right, it's Mason Foster, new Thanks, Chicago Mason. Bears linebacker. Good talking to him, and, man, he sounds eager to please these Bears fans. So at least you got to like what he's saying coming in here. And, they needed another linebacker in there. So it's hard to criticize the signing, especially on a cheap one-year deal. All right, David Hall will join us next after we get an update from Mark Carmen. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into app today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop apt, pleasing people since 1936. David Hall live from Arizona next. It's Adam Hogan, Jen Latta filling in on Cap'n Hall.